Hello, my kittens, my unicorns, my lovelies. Welcome to House of Heretics, the paid subscriber podcast where Timothy and I drink coffee and talk about bullshit for your listening pleasure. This is a preview. If you are hearing this on the main feed, on Substack, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen to this show, then this is a preview. You can get the whole thing, the whole hour, by going to sacredtension.substack.com and signing up, giving me your money to make sure my cats don't die, because I have six cats and it's a lot of fucking money. I had to take one of my cats to the vet. It was very sad and very expensive. And guess what? Your money goes to very practical things like that. So, Timothy and I talk about all sorts of things: theology, philosophy, pop culture. It is a casual live show, and we also do it in front of a live audience of paid subscribers. So if that's interesting to you, then do please become a paying subscriber for the cost of just one coffee a month. And it really does go a very, very, very long way. Really helps me out and make sure that this show and my work has a long life. All right, Timothy, how are you, Schnookums?
I'm doing very well. Thank you very much.
Perfect. Well, before we get started, I do have some housekeeping. First, sadly, after looking at the calendar for the next few months, I've decided that we have to nix the meditation series that I was doing for subscribers. And the reason is because I have started a new project with Matt Langston of the band 1187, and it's just taking up a huge amount of time. But it's very, very exciting. I can't announce it yet, so this is just a teaser that there is a very cool project in the works, an audio project in the works that it sounds like there's a duck in the background. Did you hear that? Timothy is looking around his apartment for the duck.
I have a cat. I hope makes duck sounds.
It's something electronic. Okay. Yeah, Fred says it's a weird goose echo in the chat. Anyway,
oh, Lord.
Well, there's a duck with us today. That's fine. All that to say, my work, as usual, is just escalating. And so right now, House of Heretics, we will meet every other week. So after today, this is Thursday, the March 14th, we will reconvene here in 2 weeks' time. So there won't be any meditation next week, and I just need these mornings to do the other work that I'm committed to. So that's announcement number one. Announcement number two is that I am trying to get guests for the paid subscriber show for House of Heretics. So it won't just be me and Timothy talking our heads off and drinking coffee. Unfortunately, Elizabeth Schultz, my sister, was not able to join us this morning. She had to wrangle cattle or whatever on her farm. But I do want to start bringing in some fan favorites for these shows. So John Moorhead has said that he's interested. Bo McGuffey has said that he's interested. Just, you know, the cool people that we've met on Sacred Tension over the years. Lucian Greaves might be interested. You know, just just the fun, cool people that I've befriended and are really, really interesting people. So
you should get Ryan Foley on.
Oh God. Okay, that is a topic that we will cover momentarily. So, I was hoping to start that this week with my sister Elizabeth joining us, but that sadly fell through. But that is something that you all can look forward to. All right. Well, what should we talk about first? So we both wrote articles this week.
Oh, finally, I did. Yeah.
Your article was fantastic. Remind me of the name of it. Hold on. I have it.
Struggle with Faith.
Struggling with Faith?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Give the basic premise of this article, because I read it this morning and I really liked it.
The basic premise is that it's one topic I, as a Christian, don't like dealing with a lot, because it forces me to confront issues with my own faith. So, and I basically went over a couple of things, like certain logical things, and these are like on the periphery, and these are things that I've already dealt with, like the accuracy of the Bible, which it's not. And if we look at it from a modern perspective, there is no archaeological evidence at all for a mass exodus from Egypt. There is no evidence for a destruction of Jericho. There is no evidence for even the simple thing like the creation of the world. We know that it doesn't happen like it has been portrayed in the Bible. Of course, I also know that from a theological point of view, that wasn't the point of the stories, but at the same time, that's just something that's in the periphery there. If that didn't really happen, then what is the Bible trying to tell us there? But I said the main issue with me losing my faith is actually being accepted by other Christians.
Yeah.
And I talked about how in the wonderful Christian bro code that we talked in, that you and I had talked about in a couple episodes in the past, somebody was trying to pin me down by listing, I think it was like 8 points of saying, hey, you need to show me that you believe all of this. It's like, what are your answers to this? Do you believe that Jesus was born of a virgin? Do you believe that this? And he listed 8 points that if I were a Christian, that I should answer yes to all those. And at first I had refused to. And then I said, I can't, because that's caveating to, I had certain caveats that I wanted to give to that. And he didn't want to hear that. He just wanted to hear an absolute just yes to each and every one of those questions. And I couldn't give it to him like he wanted it to give to me. And I said in my article that I'm really worry of when people try to pin me down in certain ways. And I called it gatekeeping, where they're trying to say, this person is in, this person is out. Is sometimes it's harmless. Like I use the example, and it's like whether or not you say pop or soda or a carbonated beverage. But yeah, I mean, then it's also like, how do you baptize? It's like, when do you think Christ is coming back? Is it going to be before or after the tribulation? Which I believe is a nonsensical question, but I've seen huge arguments over that as well. And I come to the conclusion in that, at least for myself personally, faith is not something you lose. Faith is something you live out.
Yeah.
And I said, despite all these people trying to say I'm in or out or not in or not out, I still want to follow Jesus, the person who says you find heaven in the way you treat other people.
Yeah.
And that was basically the conclusion of my article. That's what I want to do with my life.
I had so many thoughts reading your article, and I really, really liked it. And I think that there might be some people who are like, well, just stop. Just why be a Christian then? Mm-hmm. Why just throw in the towel? Be an atheist or an agnostic or whatever, be non-religious, sleep in on Sundays, so on and so forth. And what I want is a broad Christianity that can embrace people like you, because I don't want people to not be Christians.
Mm-hmm.
I want people to not be fundamentalists. Right. I think it's what Bart Ehrman said. He said people shouldn't, it isn't that people shouldn't be Christians. People shouldn't be fundamentalists, in that episode I did last year with him.
Yeah.
And I think that this is really important, because the more I think about it, I think that our American society requires a healthy Christian culture. And I'll have to take some more time to unpack this. And Jonathan Rauch is writing a book about this, actually, about, and it's coming out, I don't know when, but he announced this on Sam Harris's podcast, where he's apparently writing a book about how Christianity is an important part of a healthy America. I don't know what his arguments are. I may or may not agree with him, but I agree with his premise that it's really important for Christianity to be healthy. And I think that mental flexibility is a sign of health. It's a sign of emotional, spiritual, and mental health. And so that's one thought I had, which is I want to see more Christianity like what you are describing. Mm-hmm. I think that that would just be objectively better for the world. And then the second, yes, go on.
No worries. I mean, it was actually sort of funny. You were talking about people saying, just take the dive into agnosticism or atheism. And I had mentioned
non-religious or non-Christian agnosticism or non-Christian atheism. That's the key, because there are Christian agnostics and whatnot.
Oh, certainly. And, I just remember that I had even mentioned in my article, is like, I have one friend of mine who basically says, hey, just take the plunge into that, drink some bourbon and have a fun time. And he actually responded in the comments. I thought that was hilarious. So if you want to see his response to it, him being somewhat mentioned in there, you can go ahead and read my little article there, because he did respond in that. But I had to say back to him, as like, I'm more of a gin and tonic type of guy. But the thing is, it's a big step to even say I am getting rid of this community to join just sever ties altogether. I am not anywhere, and honestly, I'm not anywhere near that stage either. I am not, faith-wise, I'm not near that at all.
And you don't need to be. That's the thing. It isn't mm-hmm. necessary, right? Like, those communities, those religious communities are our lifeblood. And this is the thing that I've been yelling about from the rooftops for months, which is I really worry about the decline of institutions that create social bonds. And guess what? Churches and religious communities are integral to that. And so just for mental and social health, I mean, there's fascinating research that shows that the number one determining factor that determines one's health in life is your social ties, not how much you smoke, not how much you exercise, not how many drugs you do, although all of that is important and should not be neglected, but ultimately it comes down to your social connections. And social connections, church, is the stuff of social connection.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's no reason to give it up, in my opinion.
Right. Well, I still remember when I was in Egypt. I went to Egypt over a decade ago. And it's a very interesting time, especially when I was there on a Friday. because that is the Muslim holy day. That's the day that they take off to rest. And it was the same thing for them. And this actually is very nice. Our tour guides explained it to us that way as well. It's like, hey, this isn't some sort of a radical thing that we do. It's just our day for family, our day for getting together, our day to come together to pray, etc. And I really like that. And it was a totally different atmosphere when I was in Egypt. The whole country just sort of slowed down on that day. It was very nice. When I was in Albania, Albania is also technically a Muslim country, but I was in Albania in 1999 and then again in 2001. So this was shortly at Albania was a isolated socialist country, very much like North Korea, but not as harsh as North Korea, I guess you could say. So it was but they still had a dictator, etc. But they were trying to say, hey, we can do it on our own. They tried to be the first country that was not religious at all. They tried to say atheism has no place in our society. I mean, atheism is the foundation of our society, not Islam, not Christianity. But when I was in Albania on a Friday, yeah, I heard Muslim calls for prayer, but the whole society kept on going as if it was just a normal day. And it was very different than when I was in Egypt, where it seemed like everybody just suddenly stopped. And I noticed that in America too, on Sundays as well. It's a totally different atmosphere, maybe not as much as it used to be, but definitely it. There is that sense of Sunday is different than the rest of the days.
If you just think, take the role of a pastor, for example. The
I did.
true secular world, excuse me, the secular non-religious world does not have an equivalent. Instead, we have commodified and partitioned off these various roles that a pastor plays. So you have the funeral director you pay, you have the therapist who you pay to be a friend, a wise friend. You have so on and so forth. But the role of the pastor is someone whose purpose is to serve the community, gets paid by the community to serve the community. And guess what? When someone dies, the pastor is there and knows what to do. We don't have that. We don't have it. When someone gets married, the pastor is there who knows the rituals. No, he has done it. She has done it a million times, right? Same with funerals, same with counseling, same with, and this isn't to, create to put too much of a gloss on pastors. They are imperfect and often fuck up and often abuse. But we can't let that obscure the fact that the role of a pastor or a priest or a rabbi is so important for a community, because here is the person, here are the people who have all the rituals and all that wisdom and all that social support at their fingertips. And you don't pay them for it. The community pays them, and in response, they provide this invaluable service. We don't have that. Where does someone find that? And I think that therapy is necessary. My partner is a therapist, for example. I am currently in therapy, just got a new therapist. And it's a necessary role that society needs, because sometimes we do need that professional mental health, medical help, right? I often feel, though, that a therapist is taking the place, though, of an elder or a wise friend or a pastor. And that's kind of tragic in a way. And that does, none of this is to diminish therapists. Therapists are necessary and we need them. But culturally, a therapist can't be a pastor, can't be an elder, can't be your deacon, can't be that person who is ahead of you on this spiritual journey and can guide you. You know, and so there's that. There's just all of these different elements. I mean, just even just the ability to show up somewhere. You're tired, you're groggy, your kids are screaming, you don't feel like it, and yet you're still there and you still get to look people in the eyes. There's just something so important about that, and we are losing that culturally. So I think I don't want people to stop being Christian. I want people to have, I want a Christianity that can integrate what we know about the world, you know, and we know that the ancient world is not the world that the Bible describes. We know that.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
Anyway, but here's the second thought I had, which is I am currently reading a brilliant book by Tom Holland. I've talked about it before on the show, called Dominion. Not Spider-Man Tom Holland, another Tom Holland. And it's Dominion, How the Christian Revolution Remade the World. And reading it, and he's a secular historian, but reading it, I'm just like, Jesus Christ, I am a Christian. I am a Christian culturally, ethically. I like the why is it that I care about the outsider? Why is it that I care about the underprivileged? Why is it that I care about injustice like racism and homophobia and transphobia? Why is it that I care about these things? It is because I am an inheritor of Christian ethics. Why is it that I believe that there is universal truth? Because Christianity established the notion of a universal church and that there is a universal truth. Why is it that I care about the division of church and state? Well, guess who came up with that idea? You know, and that doesn't mean that I am dogmatically a Christian. That doesn't mean that I am, that I have an Orthodox Christian faith. That doesn't mean that I'm a believer, but it does mean that in a very real way, I am a Christian. And reading this book is just bringing home all the ways in which I am very much a Christian. And that was the other thing that I was thinking about, where it's like there's a messiness to the boundary. There's a blurriness to the boundaries of Christianity, of who gets to decide, of what does it mean to be